I'm grating soap. It's a soap made with olive oil. It's called Savon de Marseille. So I took one, the most ecological one possible, I mean with no palm oil, you know. And I used to do my own liquid for the house, washing machine liquid, or the one I use for cleaning my plates and knives and everything.
You've now got these small shavings,
yeah.
And what do you do afterwards?
Normally with this kind of soap you have to use also hot water, and you can add some vinegar, you know, white vinegar, depend of the recipe. For example, to make your own liquid for the washing machine, it's 30 grams of soap, 1 liter of hot water, and you can add also some essential oil, you know.
To smell nice?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. And that's it? The bell rings and another group of people from the Zero Waste Festival come into Ghislaine Garderin's apartment here in the east part of Paris. They've come to see how this aspiring zero waster organises his life. The kitchen shelves are stacked with glass jars filled with pulses and rice, which he buys in bulk. He makes his own cleaning products, thereby cutting down on plastic bottles. He uses covers made from scraps of material rather than cling film or aluminium. And outside in the courtyard, there's a composter, which allows him to cut down his organic waste by a third and improve the soil in the communal gardening area. He began 8 years ago, slowly, and insists it all has to be fun.
It's one thing per year, you know, you say, oh, I can make my own dishwasher tablets, and then the year after you say, oh, I can make my own cosmetics, and the year after you can say, oh, I can make a funny game, I don't buy anything new for 1 year, etc.
It does take time.
I have time because I don't go to the supermarket, so I take this time to do my own product, and I like that. It should be good fun for sure.
And it's something you can share with the kids?
It's exactly something you can share with the kid. For example, when you do your small tablets for the dishwasher, there is bubbles. It's a game. Yeah, they like it very much. And for me, it's very economical for the food, because when you buy in bulk, you save money. And for the liquid you use to wash and clean your house, your clothes, etc., I think it's half price.
Ghislaine Garderin is one of more than 2,000 members of the zero waste movement here in France. There's a lot of work to be done, because currently each person in France generates an average of close to 400 kilos of waste per year.
Of this 400 kilos per person, mostly 40% gets recycled, but the rest is still burnt or landfilled, so we're pretty far from being a zero waste country.
That's Laure Châtel, a campaigner involved in lobbying and communications for Zero Waste France. But like all the people in this movement, she's extremely enthusiastic and upbeat about giving objects a second life rather than throwing them away.
The aim of these 3 days is really to promote a zero waste approach, zero waste lifestyle. And the good news is that zero waste is becoming, I think, sexier and sexier. Basically, citizens are really getting organized to promote this approach. I mean, we have 5,000 people coming here in Paris, sometimes from pretty far in France, to come and get organized and learn about zero waste. So that's really positive.
Can you give us a few examples of what we can do very simply to reduce waste?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of workshops everywhere in the festival. For example, you can compost your organic waste. That's quite easy to do if you have a garden. You can also make your own cosmetics. For example, using a special kind of oil for a makeup remover instead of a packaged product. Coffee grains for a face mask cream. We have also simple tips like how to organize your fridge so that you waste less food. A lot of workshops about how to repair your bike, your microwave, your clothes. We also have some lifestyle coaching workshops on how to reduce the clothes you have in your wardrobe. The clothes, the textile is really generating a lot of CO2 emissions, so it's really important as an individual to reduce it.
Zero wasters advocate filling up their metal water bottles from the tap rather than buying plastic bottles. Then they carry their own canvas bags to cut down on plastic or even paper ones in shops. But it's all a bit new for some shopkeepers.
This morning I was here in Paris. I went to a bakery and I was like, oh, I'll have a French croissant. And I had my bag with me. I saw the look on that lady's face this morning, which is the one I get a lot. I was like, can I have it in my linen bag? And she's like, you want no paper?
Alicia Pereira is a member of Zero Waste Belgium. She's helped set up a zero waste experience in Brussels, where someone who wants to move over to a zero waste lifestyle is paired up with an experienced one. It's a fun way of changing your habits.
We look where they live and put them in relation with someone that lives close to them. The reason why we do that is because we think for you to actually make a difference and change your habits, it needs to be easy. If we send someone to a shop that's going to take them an hour to get to, they're not going to go there. It can go from people who would like to learn how to compost, people who just had a baby and would like to try reusable nappies. It can be anything. So depending on what they need, we find someone who may be able to meet their needs. They meet three times, and that's it. We basically give them a hand and send them on the path. And really the thing is hoping that they'll do the same thing with someone else. So we'll get more people basically preaching, you know, for reducing waste. But it's not in a funny way. You know, it's not trying to make people guilty about what they do. And it's working really well.
Now we really need to convince politicians that they need to implement now the zero waste solutions.
Laure Châtel.
So far, the French government has mostly been pushing for plastic recycling. They see recycling as a solution for the plastic pollution, and we think it's not the solution. We think we need to reduce plastic at source. We cannot only get away with it with recycling.
What else do you think needs to be done?
I think we also need to really push at the local level for a separate collection of organics and composting. We're really far from that in France. Other European countries are really doing a great job, like Germany, like Italy as well. Some regions in Italy are really separately collecting a lot of organic waste. In France, it's really only starting. 4 million inhabitants only are covered by a separate collection systems for organics. Paris is starting to do so, but we really need to engage with bigger cities.
Châtel says the best way of getting politicians to act is to show the good work that's been done in other countries.
The key point is having good example. Now that we have Italian cities like Parma or Milan doing a great job, having great results, really the idea is to have citizens pressuring their politicians, showing them the results we have elsewhere and telling them that's the way forward.
The festival invited a number of champion zero wasters to share their experiences. One is American writer and environmentalist Robert Reed. He's a spokesperson for Recology, which is San Francisco's recycling company. The city's objective is to reach zero waste by 2020. Reed says they're well on the way, with over 80% of rubbish either being recycled or composted or otherwise reused or repurposed.
We're delivering larger recycling bins that are twice the size of the previous ones and smaller trash bins that are half the size of the previous ones to neighborhoods across the city. And we've delivered these bins to about 70 or 75% of the single-family homes in San Francisco. And in every neighborhood where we deliver the larger recycling and the smaller trash bins, the tons sent to landfill are consistently down between 10 and 15%.
How do they achieve this? Well, there are many factors, says Reed. One of the great keys is communicating to youngsters. But in 2009, San Francisco also took the radical step of making recycling and composting compulsory.
Part of the solution to get to zero waste is to implement policies, municipal policies. It's not a miracle solution, but it's certainly very helpful. And in San Francisco, there's a local law that says every property must have a compost bin and participate in the composting collection program. And the same law says that every property in the city must have a recycling bin and participate in the recycling program. There's also policies for construction projects that they have to recycle their material. But ultimately, it's really an issue of passion. It's really an issue of instilling in people a desire to be better by the environment, embracing a zero-waste lifestyle, to living more simply and living more in connection with your community, your neighbors, and with nature.
While each European produces an average of 300 kilos of residual waste, which is going to landfills and incinerators, Italy's Contarina district has managed to reduce its waste to 50 kilos per inhabitant per year and is aiming for 10 kilos by 2023. It shows it's possible.
Zero wasters are always happy and never satisfied. But happiness is one key part of our zero waste commitments. and happiness will be the traction. We'll exert the traction for more and more people to get involved in zero waste programs.
Enzo Faviano is contagiously passionate about achieving zero waste. He's a scientific coordinator of Zero Waste Europe, the network that helps implement programs across the continent and influence European policy. He's very upbeat about Europe recently adopting a circular economy package.
2018 has been a turning point because a few weeks ago, the European institutions adopted the circular economy package. And we may be even happier than with what we normally are, because it's basically a zero-waste program. It says we have to maximize material recovery, we have to minimize the spoilage of resources.
EU directives now require higher safety standards for landfills, and local authorities have to ensure waste is pre-treated. So as recycling becomes more cost-competitive, local mayors with tight budgets are zero-waste's new best friends.
We have seen that much as we try to draw attention on the environmental importance of going zero waste, we have seen that the main engine propelling zero waste interest by mayors is cost savings. Because they are incurring increasing and skyrocketing costs for landfilling and incineration. And therefore they know that the most they recycle, the most they reduce, the least they send to landfills and incinerators, the more they save money. But if I may stress another incredibly important angle around that, not only you make the good for the environment, not only do you save money, but also the money you spent will not be spent for big financial investment programs as it would be for an incinerator, or big equipment expenditures on trucks and something like that, but it will be to reward people, because zero waste programs and curbside collection programs are much more labor intensive. And so at the same cost or even at a lower cost, you spend less for capitals and much more for people. And that's the best in zero waste programs.
Here in France, the drivers of the zero waste movement are mainly female. Perhaps they still have more contact with the kitchen and the bins and the tons of nappies clogging up landfills. But there's no reason more men can't get on board, says Alicia Pereira.
More often than not, women are still the one doing the grocery shopping or taking decisions, making decisions for the kids. And, you know, like we're in 2018, but unfortunately that's the reality of life. And I think that's the reason why. But then there's also the husbands, the boyfriends, the partners who go, oh, okay, you want to do that, I'll follow. Like, I know my husband does so many things, but he won't be going bragging about it. You know, he probably won't go and take his linen back to the bakery, but if I'm there, he'll happily do it. So there's also that. I think there's a bit of convincing as well. And I mean, in Belgium, every time we see a guy passing the door to come into one of our information meetings, we like jumping up and down. We try to do it discreetly, but we're so happy to see them. They don't always stay. We try not to scare them. But hopefully in a few years from now, there's going to be more men, you know, visibly taking part of it.